We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Continuing on this Tuesday, hopefully the rain cooled you down a little bit. About ready to turn the page into August. Can you believe that this summer is just flying by this rapidly? My goodness.
Say that every year, I feel like.
Well, I mean, it gets worse, Shane.
I know. It doesn't get better. It must, because we do it say gets it worse. Every year.
Now, I know. The school year creeps up on us now because, mm-hmm. of course, we've got kids going back to school in the second week of August now, or earlier, so we've got that going on.
Is your locale where you are right now the first time in a long time that you don't particularly care about your local colleges? Like, when you were here, it was Wichita State this and that. It was all about Wichita State, obviously.
K-State, yeah. Wichita State, K-State, KU. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, do you care about CU and Colorado State?
I care about it. I do care about it. But it is down the list, mm-hmm. If that's what you're asking,
yeah.
Yes.
Because you care more about the Broncos and the Rockies right now, way more than anything on the horizon for the Buffs or the Rams, right?
My life for the foreseeable future is Broncos and Rockies. Mm-hmm. And it's not always in that order. It can be Rockies and Broncos. In fact, although the Rockies pissed me off last night, but that's another story. It's probably more Rockies right now, and we had a production meeting just the other day, and I was making that argument about why this needs to be as much of our focus right now. Broncos takes precedent over everything in this part of the world. Mm-hmm. It just is. It's the nature of the beast, and I get it. I really do. I understand it, but. We're not playing games for real for over a month,
right?
And as I mentioned yesterday, and we'll move on to something else. But over 123,000 people saw a three-game series at Coors Field between the Rockies and the A's. They're a contender. They're in the midst of things. They blew a 4-1 lead last night in the seventh, and social media exploded. So there's a lot of people that are on board, that are on the bandwagon, that are following it. And remember, it was a playoff team a year ago. I mean, I know, a one-and-done wild card playoff team, but nonetheless, a team that won 87 games and could be back on that kind of path this year. And they've never won a division title. And they're sitting there, what, two games off the pace now? There's a lot of it. This is a damn good baseball town. In case you're wondering, the all-time attendance record was set in this city.
Now, they were playing
at Mile High Stadium, so that's skewed a little bit, but they still draw. They still draw great. So, long-winded answer to your question. The colleges are further down the line, and that's weird to me because forever, really for the better part of almost 30 years, 28 right. years. Yeah, that's what I lined up with every year. The colleges, college football. And yeah, I mean, there were some Chiefs, you know, plugged in there and Royals plugged in there. But boy, no, my steady diet was Wichita State, Kansas State, KU to a lesser degree, because that was generally not my beat as much. But I still, you know, covered probably, five of their final fours and two of their national championships. So, I mean, I did a lot of KU as well. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it does change everything. And you know something? You get used to it and you... And you roll with it, because there's plenty for me to draw see you in Colorado State and even Northern Colorado. Mm-hmm. I mean, our friend Tad Boyle is up the road at CU, mm-hmm. coaching basketball, and obviously I have a good, I hope to have, and he feels this way. We have a great relationship, and Mike Roan, who's the former Shocker assistant as well, was on Mark Turgeon's staff, is up there, and so those guys. So there's plenty of reason to go around up there, but
Wichita is college town, period, when it comes
it's
to
a
sport.
Major league market.
Yeah,
it's a major league market, because you also have when you swing out of this cycle, then you roll into the Nuggets, which probably right now are bringing up the rear. And the Avalanche, which had a really nice bounce back season this year, and reached the playoffs and played Nashville right down to the bitter end. They've got a nice young club. So I mean, you know. Anyway, yes, there's a lot to keep you occupied, but yes, we pay attention to CU and to Colorado State. We staff their games and stuff. We don't travel with them.
Yeah.
Unless they give us a reason to do it. And Northern Colorado gets put in there as well. So, yeah, we still pay attention to it, but it's not the focal point.
Yeah.
Just isn't.
All right. So just kind of again, a reminder for those that missed the first segment today is the Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline. And in looking back, and again, with the Royals, they are clearly way down on the pecking list because they're sellers. Dayton Moore made it somewhat clear, although until the rubber really hits the road, you never know, that Whit and Duffy aren't going anywhere, but likely anybody else, I guess this side is Salvi. Salvi's probably not going anywhere either. But will the Royals try to flip Lucas Duda or anybody else here in the next however many hours? So it got me to thinking, what are some of the, if not necessarily trade deadline moves, some of the best and worst in Royals history. And the most recent, of course, were a couple. And it was the ones that got Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist to Kansas City. Johnny Cueto's deal, who, by the way, is going to have to go under the knife, I think.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Royals gave up Brandon Finnegan, John Lamb, and Cody Reed for Johnny Cueto, and Aaron Brooks, Sean Manaea, and Cash for Ben Zobrist. Those were the most recent. And can't we agree the best, regardless
yes.
of what Sean Manaea goes on to do in his career, or really, frankly, anybody else? That's the best kind of duo trade in Royals history.
No question.
Got him a flag.
Yeah, and while you'd love to have those guys now, it doesn't make any difference because you won a championship. By far the best deals they've ever made.
And a very close second, which helped out in getting that flag, was maybe the most scrutinized at the time trade in history until they did win a World Series, and that was the one in December 2012 when the Royals traded Will Myers, Mike Montgomery, and Jake mm-hmm. Odorizzi to Tampa Bay for James Shields, Wade Davis, and Elliot Johnson.
Yeah.
And the Royals the next year did not make the postseason, and
right.
Will Myers was the Rookie of the Year. And
but
so,
listen to those deals, Shane.
I know, but at the time, Will Myers was like a sacred cow. It's like he's the prospect. We can't be dealing Will Myers. And it was a relatively unknown Wade Davis, and certainly Elliot Johnson was a throw-in. But James Shields was like carrying the torch for that trade.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
Yeah,
James Shields has got to be a 20-game winner for us if this is going to be an equitable trade, because we know what we gave up in Will Myers. And
well, Royals fans, or just baseball fans in general, forget that Wade Davis was a starter coming from Tampa, and the Royals used him as such, kind of tried to fit him into that role, didn't quite work out, readjusted, reconfigured, realigned, and then they ended up with the back end of the law firm.
Yep.
You know, or for a while, the middle portion of the law firm. And now, of course, he's closer and has been and stuff like that. But he ended up being kind of, I don't want to say the bonus in the deal, but James Shields was the guy.
Yeah. He was.
That's what they were acquiring.
The ace for a couple of years.
Yes.
And the stuff that he provided in the clubhouse. I mean, it was.
Sure.
Him, I don't want to say him by himself would have made it worth it, because Will Myers is a more than competent big league player, and so and Mike Montgomery
sure
and Jake Odorizzi have had decent major league careers too, and they're still fairly young. But banishing Wade Davis to the bullpen because he couldn't get through the order three times turned out to be a stroke of genius. And
unbelievable.
It made Wade Davis a really rich man.
Yeah. And really set it really set the foundation for their championship run. All of those deals really were gold for Dayton Moore. I mean, every single one of them. Get Shields.
Think of the one back in 2010, though. And I don't know if this predates Dayton Moore or not, but speaking of Jake Odorizzi, the Royals traded Zach Greinke and Unieski Betancourt to the Brewers for Alcides Escobar, Lorenzo Cain, Jeremy Jeffress, and Jake Odorizzi, who they later flipped.
Was that Allard Baird or was that Dayton Moore? I can't remember.
I'm gonna have to look.
Yeah, we're going to have to look that one up. But that obviously, when you go back, that is a series of deals that came up absolutely gold for the Royals. Mm-hmm.
And you talk about more scrutiny, trading Zach Greinke?
Well, he wanted out at the time. Yeah. At the time, what was he? He was coming off of what did he win the Cy Young? Did he win 13 that year and still win the Cy Young Award?
Yeah,
I can't
ERA,
remember
like
exactly what the number was.
2.1 or something like
that. Yeah, he was just filthy.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good.
Dayton Moore was there in 2010.
Okay, so there you go.
He got there in 2006, so he's been there a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Well, how could? Well, that's right. A bad swing and miss on my part.
Yeah,
even
I
wonder
wasn't
about
sure
it.
Either. Yeah.
But that falls into the time flies category. Mm. But you talk about that series of deals was the most important series of hits that Dayton Moore made in his administrative history, and it delivered by and large a championship to Kansas City. Now, you don't always, I mean, that's a pretty good run. You get that haul. Now, first of all, you had to have a Zach Greinke to make that haul with Milwaukee. But then the two or three subsequent deals that they made all came up great.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always happen. Doesn't always happen.
You mean?
But it did for that stretch.
You mean like in 2004 when they sent Carlos Beltran to the Astros for Mark Tian, John Buck, and Mike Wood?
That one didn't work out as well.
Two of those players are playing for the Louisville Stars, by the way.
Good.
Mark Tian and John Buck.
God.
Tian was an okay Royal. John Buck was an okay Royal.
But
you send Carlos Beltran.
It's Carlos Beltran, for God's sakes. Are you kidding me? And then Beltran goes nuts in the playoffs. For the Astros, had that incredible, and went on to have a. I mean, I'm a big Carlos Beltran fan, so. I mean that's kind of how it works, but those deals, now starting with the deal with Milwaukee, when you stop to consider what they got in that deal, and they got rid of a malcontent,
yep,
an immensely talented guy, but a guy that didn't want to be in Kansas City,
and. Basically exchanged, as it turned out, somewhat below replacement players in Unieski Betancourt and Alcides Escobar. Although Escobar did have an unbelievable offensive run in the postseason, including the World Series.
I think it's it's fair to say that Alcides Escobar not high on the list here on Sports Daily. Having said that, he played his role.
Mm-hmm.
He played his role, and he had some moments. Some really good postseason moments. So from that standpoint, you say, hey, enjoy your ring. Thank you very much. I personally would like to move on from Alcides Escobar at some point, but I don't make those decisions. But, yeah, man, they hit gold. The Milwaukee deal, then Zobrist, getting James Shields, getting Wade Davis into the fold. Zobrist, God,
hey,
Cueto.
Honorable mention,
unreal.
Though, Amos Otis from the Mets for Joe Foy. Amos Otis turned into a 5-time All-Star.
Yeah.
And they,
boy, that is a good one.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
That was 1969 in December.
Yeah.
And after Lou Piniella was the 69 AL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
But it was Amos Otis who became the Royals' first All-Star. And they got him and Bob Johnson, who only played with the Royals for 1 year, for Joe Foy.
Wow.
Maybe, besides getting a flag, that may have been the Royals' best trade ever, and it happened 49 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. I forgot that he wasn't homegrown.
Nope, he was a Met, sitting on the bench for the Mets.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll get to Twitter, courtesy of our friends Syndio, your HR experts in Wichita. The Syndio Twitter question of the day coming up next. Shane and Bruce rolling along on a Tuesday. You've got it on your sports station, KFH. This is Sports Daily.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!